another nepotism scandal rocking the French presidential campaign. Interior Minister Bruno Le Roux quitting late Tuesday after financial prosecutors opened an inquiry. He's suspected of using public funds to pay his daughters for summer jobs in Parliament. Macron further boosted this week by winning the support of a junior socialist minister. Polls show his closest rival, far-right candidate Le Pen, could win the primaries on April the 23rd. But they say Macron should trounce her in the runoff.
Executives at Sears have expressed, quote, substantial doubt that it will be able to remain in business. Sears Holdings has seen mounting losses for years. In January, it announced that 42 stores would be closing. The holding company is also the parent company of Kmart, which is also in jeopardy. The company says in 2016, it lost $2 billion and that annual revenue dropped 12%.
It is still our belief, which continues to be borne out by our investigation, that this attacker acted alone and was inspired by international terrorism. Tragically, the deaths included PC Keith Palmer, who is protecting Parliament, two members of the public, a woman aged in her mid-40s, and a man in his mid-50s. The fourth man, of course, was the terrorist who was shot dead by armed police at the scene.
Now, WGN Radio's daily conversation about the life of business and the business of life. This is The Opening Bell with Steve Grzanich on 720 WGN.
Good morning. Welcome to the program. Today is Thursday. It's March 23rd, 2017. Glad to have you along for another edition of The Opening Bell, another business day. A lot has happened since we last spoke yesterday. Of course, all of the activity in London, activity in Washington as well, the run-up to the healthcare vote tonight. Plenty to cover this morning. Let's begin first on the WGN Associated Bank Market Desk this morning. First, with Asian shares this morning edging up while the dollar's gains were limited as President Trump's struggle to push through health care reform is raising doubts about whether or not he can win support for pro-growth economic policy measures. Dow futures are flat this morning as we head toward the opening bell. NASDAQ and S&P futures are a little higher. And crude oil is trading up almost a full percent this morning at $48.41 a barrel. In Europe, stocks are generally mixed, with the FTSE in London off about 11 points. The DAX is off as well in Germany. In France, the CAC is off about 9 points. Other Asian shares this morning generally higher. Again, the Nikkei leading the way up about 44 points. Again, Dow futures in this country still flat this morning, looking for direction. One of those things impacting markets across the country and here globally and here at U.S. is the Trump trade. And we saw another bump yesterday on Wall Street. This healthcare vote that's coming tonight could be a big deal if the Republicans don't have enough to pass it. Investors are looking very closely at this to see if it might impact the rest of Donald Trump's agenda, which includes tax cuts, regulation rollbacks, and infrastructure spending. Waiting to see what that vote is tonight. Right now, according to several sources, there are not enough votes to pass that in the House, enough GOP votes against it as we head toward the vote, which is supposed to happen before 7 o'clock this evening. Goldman Sachs announced this week that it is making a specialized robo-advisor available to its wealthy investors. It is the latest foray into robotics and artificial intelligence at the big banks. But is it a trend that's coming to other banks and regional institutions? We're going to talk about that on this week's Thought Leader Conversation. The opening bell welcomes back Breck Hansen, who is the vice chairman and former head of commercial real estate at the Associated Bank at Associated Bank. Breck, welcome back to the opening bell. Good to see you.
Good to see you, Steve.
As we sit here, we've heard from Goldman Sachs that they're going to start pushing this robo-advisor on affluent investors. Are the robots coming to take our jobs?
You know, when I read things like that, Steve, I think about a lot of things. I think robots or technology is really a generational thing. And a lot of the affluent investors are still people in their 50s, 60s, 70s, even 80s. And I truly believe they still like that personal touch. They like to be able to pick up a phone and talk to somebody, whether that's a trade or investment advice and that kind of input. That being said, we're not too far away from the millennials or the Generation X's and the people that really grab on to information and technology being in more of that affluent class or that senior class. So it's something that you got to pay attention to.
Yeah, we see the, I guess, the pitfalls and the positives of this is you trade at the speed of light almost. That can be good if you're making money, but it can be bad if you're losing money, can't it?
You know, speed is something that you watch the behavior of people, and the faster you can lose money or the faster you can make money is, if not consciously, subconsciously attractive to a lot of people. I look at gambling and horse racing or dog racing, and when they brought in off-track betting, people loved to go to tracks where you could also bet other races around the United States because they didn't have to wait that several minutes between races. They could put more money out in between. And if you want to make betting or gambling analogous to what you do in the investing market, that's exactly what maybe technology like this is doing for the sophisticated investor.
Is there a benefit there, like for Associated Bank, to have, I know we've talked about this in the past, still having people there? Because as you say, there are folks who prefer that, regardless of whether or not the other thing is the most popular thing right now, this personal touch.
Well, I'll tell you what we found is that we've got a number of retail sites in how people do banking. Of course, most of us, if not all of us, are familiar with ATMs. But we also have a product now or a facility now that we call the virtual teller. And you basically do a drive-through, and you're talking to a machine that can do all your transactions. What we found in some of the urban markets, that works very well. People are comfortable with that. But think about our footprint. We're the state of Wisconsin. We're 220, 230 branches, primarily in Wisconsin. And when you get to some of the rural markets where the bright lights and the technology really doesn't catch on, that virtual teller is something that really isn't attractive.
And this really, too, I mean, you could almost apply that to anything technological because, you know, we're seeing some of these tests with drones, too, like, for instance, the drone delivery. And, you know, people in the rural areas don't really like this drone flying up to their house. They still like this neighborly touch. And, you know, is that always going to be there, do you think, or is this disruptive technology sort of taking things over?
I think, you know, always is an infinite term. I think it's surprising how some of the rural markets, and we'll go back to our footprint, really are not as, and I don't mean to be critical, but not as sophisticated or as technologically updated. And I think part of that is the environment, but I think part of that is a desire. There's a lot of people that just aren't interested in the technology and living their life in the fast lane, and that living in a less vibrant, exciting community where you can relax and enjoy life and talk to a real person is attractive. So I'd like to say no. In my lifetime, probably not, but always is a long time.
Last year, we were making predictions for this coming year, and one of the other disruptions we talked about was acquisitions. Now we hear Amazon is exploring maybe taking over Capital One or at least merging with them. Having a company like Amazon get into financial services, what does that mean, and how will that landscape look?
Well, first of all, if you think about it, I think it makes a heck of a lot of sense. If you look at the challenges that financial services companies have today, aside from regulation and aside from just the competition in the market, security, cybersecurity, the elimination of fraud, all the things that the Amazons and the Googles and the Microsofts have invested billions of dollars in money just dealing with technology, it makes sense that a financial institution that's tied to somebody with that kind of intellectual knowledge would create a safety net that a consumer would really be attracted to.
So one recent study that said 40% of the people that run these financial services companies and banks, they're concerned about this disruption. 40% seems like a high number.
You gave me a little teaser with that article.
Yeah.
I don't know who those other 60% are. Yeah. I mean, it's. I'm surprised that it wasn't 110%.
You think 110% should
think
be concerned?
I'll go on record as saying is we're all at risk. And I think when we look at security in bank systems, you know, you can feel really good about the fact that the guy across the street got hit, but don't feel too good because it could very well be you today.
And sometimes we hear traditional, we hear rest on your laurels, those sorts of things. In any sector, I'm imagining that's a dangerous position.
That's the biggest issue to me. This is not a rest on your laurels business because it's changing so much that the ability you had to, and I'm not a technology guy myself, but the ability you had to stop somebody from hacking, for lack of a better term, in yesterday may not be effective tomorrow. And that's why resting on your laurels is, you know, hey, you did a good job, but you're only as good as you're going to be today or tomorrow. It's not a comforting thing. And when you see, you know, historically what happened to a Target or what happens to somebody who's compromised with their accounts, don't get cocky.
And the other part of it, too, is playing a good offense when it comes to those areas. I know that you've seen this article about RippleShot. We had them actually here in the opening bell recently. This third-party company that's their security's their business, where they're trying to find these trends and stop the security problems before they happen. Do you think that's the answer, playing better offense in this area as opposed to defense?
I don't think it's the answer. I think it's a necessity. We talk about how we've talked together about how banks have spent millions of dollars just complying to regulations. Well, there's another area, and it's actually security. I mean, we've got over 20 employees at Associated Bank whose entire focus is fraud and security breaches and things like that. And coupled with that, we're dealing with third party to help us identify that kind of thing. And as I said before, what we're doing today is not what we did yesterday.
And it goes back again to the artificial intelligence and the algorithms and the robots. Companies like RippleShot are using those technologies to change this area too, to be as best as they can be in terms of offense. You think, what are your thoughts on those?
Well, I think they're onto something.
Yeah.
I mean, and I think that the problem is that the people that utilize RippleShot's got to be as creative as on top of it as the bank does. I mean, you know, once they break a group up, that group's got, what do I want to say? That group's got a way to get in the next way.
Yeah. The last time we were here, since the last time we were here, the Federal Reserve has raised interest rates. We're seeing that
you predicted that, by the way.
it was kind of easy to predict. I'm not gonna predict what's gonna happen the rest of the year, but we're hearing three, maybe four more. This is one of the predictions I think you made last year, actually, too, that we would see more rate increases coming this year. Is that a good thing for your business?
What's interesting is, when you say I made, or the banking community, or the people at Associated Bank, I think we've been making this prediction for the last 8 or 10 years, and it's actually coming to fruition now. Yeah. So here we are.
So what does this mean for a couple of areas? First of all, for just the consumer, and then also for businesses who are out there in this area?
Well, the reaction, I said this when we got together about a month ago, but we are having one of our biggest mortgage production months or quarters that we've had in some time at the bank. And the interesting thing is the phenomena is such that home prices are going up, interest rates are going up, the stock market has obviously made people feel better about themselves, and we're seeing people start to purchase homes now and secure mortgages, not because they're happy about the fact that those mortgage rates have gone up, but they fear what those mortgage rates will be in the second or third or fourth quarter. And so it's kind of a pent-up demand, a feeling of wealth, and you'd think people would step back because it's less affordable. But I think what's happened is the fear of the future. And so we're seeing a lot of mortgage activity. Yeah. What we're not seeing is the refinance activity, because people usually refinance when rates have gone down, and that's not happening.
Breck, it's always good chatting with you, and we'll see you again next time.
Thanks, Steve. Boiler up.
Breck Hanson, the Vice Chairman and former Head of Commercial Real Estate at Associated Bank, on our Thought Leader conversation today. Remember, you can listen to our past conversations at WGNradio.com on the opening bell page. You can also follow Associated Bank at Associated Biz on Twitter. And Breck, Purdue and Kansas tonight. Of course, we're rooting for their Purdue Boilermakers in the NCAA tournament. Thought leaders are ready to answer your questions, too. Send your questions via email to thoughtleader@wgnradio.com. That's thoughtleader@wgnradio.com. We can answer your questions right here on the opening bell.
Now, WGN Radio's daily conversation about the life of business and the business of life. This is the opening bell with Steve Grzanich on 720 WGN.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome back to the program. It's 5:41. This is our Thursday edition of the show. The South by Southwest Festival just wrapped up in Austin, and a lot happened there. Big time, big events, lots of new things happening, and we thought we would do a little wrap-up this morning. Michael Heidemann is my colleague, a producer here at WGN. You down there all week. Michael, welcome to the opening bell on this side of the microphone.
Yeah, thanks, Steve. A big fan of the show.
Yeah, we're glad to have you. So, Michael, by the way, that was an inside joke, because Michael is former producer of this show, so it's good to have you on this side of the microphone.
Well, I'm really glad to be here. Thank you for having me on the show.
So what was your impression of South by Southwest this year? I know you've gone several years. How would you give it a grade? What grade would you give it, and how cool was it?
You know, that's an interesting question, because people kept saying that it was a little bit downgraded from years past. I've been there for 4 years now. I thought it was a little bit more alive than it's ever been, to be honest. A lot of tech companies were coming out. Interaction of technology was key this year at the South by Southwest Music Festival. So it was interesting to see all these companies, you know, be so hungry when this crowd came to Austin. So I got a really good impression of it. I give it probably a B+.
Yeah, we were talking before we came on about how it didn't seem like Chicago had a big presence there this year, as compared to years past. Is that a wrong impression, or is that real?
That's exactly right. You know, we have such a big tech community here in Chicago, lots of startups. 1871 is just taking the world by storm, but we did not see a lot of Chicago at South by Southwest this year, aside from the music. You know, usually we had the initiatives coming on with Chicago Made or another Chicago presence. Rahm Emanuel was there 1 year. But this year, there was not a lot of people from the city of Chicago at the startup like I thought there would be.
Let's talk about some of the things that came out of there, because it's South by Southwest, Austin could be ground zero for what's going to happen maybe perhaps in other places of the country where Uber and Lyft may get bumped out of communities. They've already done it there. How was it?
Yeah, it was wild. You know, from a guy from Chicago who's used to taking Uber and Lyft every single day and every single where, it was not even existent in Austin. I guess there was some political turmoil. Uber said, I'm going to hit the high road and not deal with this kind of political strife. So they left along with Lyft, which is interesting because a few years ago, Lyft was the keynote speaker there, and they were offering free Uber and Lyft rides for many years. So they left, which actually is kind of cool for the city of Austin, which is like a unique kind of startup tech company itself, because this required the Austin tech community to create their own kind of Uber and Lyft. They created companies such as Fasten and Ride Austin, which is actually made by a group of University of Texas students, which was kind of neat to see, you know, when you have your feet to the flame, what you'll come up with.
Mm-hmm. So it was called Fasten, is that it?
Mm-hmm.
F-A-S-T-E-N, like fasten a button?
Yeah, like the belt buckle.
The belt. Mm-hmm. So is this something that is spreading across the country, or is it just in Austin right now?
That is a really interesting thing because, you know, here in Chicago, we're in this beautiful bubble where we think of only Uber and Lyft it being existent. But now being there and seeing how similar these apps were to Uber and Lyft was interesting to see that maybe this isn't the only answer. Maybe there are more tech communities that can create a new kind of transportation system. It was such such a disruptive force in transportation, who knows what's going to happen next?
And disruption, that's the key word, right?
Yes.
Anytime you can disrupt something, that's pretty good. And Uber's having all kinds of problems lately, so who knows what can happen. So what was there are lots of electronic gadgets and gizmos that seem to come up there. What was the best one you saw?
Well, you know, I'm a fan of the quirky, and as I remember you are as well. And what I saw there was a lot of interactivity, like I mentioned before. How people are going to kill their time. Mark Cuban gave a great convocation on the fact that disruption is so important today, and the next wave of great companies will be how we kill our time. There was this really cool gadget called Groove Gloves. Groove Gloves, which are electronic motion devices that change color to the beat of the music and movement of your hands. So if you're dancing right now, I'm kind of moving my hands, and it would go to the beat of the music and just change like blue, yellow, green. It was really cool.
You sort of just transported me to a rave party, just that I can instead of actual glow sticks, you have you could use your fingers for that. I can see that.
Yeah, so it's kind of they wanted to transform it from dance music, and they're going to eventually bring it to the medical field. But they thought that going with dance was the easiest, so that'd be the best way to get investors.
So you kind of gave away the next thing we're going to talk about, the Juggler app. Is this like a dating app? The new dating app?
It kind of sounds like it. You know, you're juggling things,
right.
But instead of juggling dates, you're juggling moms.
Okay.
And this sounds okay. Let's keep it in the fast lane here.
Sure.
So with this Juggler app, it's from a group of Aussies. It's an Australian startup company, and this is the perfect mom finder, I guess you could say. This is able to search for other moms in your local area willing to help from everything from, you know, if you need to teach your kids a new language or if you need somebody to take the nanny services or something like that.
So mom sharing, pretty
yes.
much.
Mom sharing. So you swipe and you connect in a social device on this Juggler app. It's actually pretty cool.
So if I needed, like if I were sick today and needed a mom to bring me chicken soup, that would be what we would use that for.
Well, sadly, it's exactly right. If you were a single mother yourself, you could use it. I'm not sure if they allow the gentleman into the app yet so far. But that's exactly right. If you need some soup or if you need to get your kids taken to school, it's a way to connect moms to moms, which is going to be a really, really interesting thing in the next few months when they roll it out.
So you mentioned Mark Cuban. This notion of moonshot initiatives is where we think of going to the moon and how that kind of brought everybody together to solve a problem. This is a big deal because the South by Southwest has always been one of those places where big ideas come out of. Did you get a sense that that's happening?
Exactly. The Moonshot Initiative is actually under Joe Biden's cancer research platform. You know, his son, Beau, was infected with cancer and passed away. So he took all this resource that he had to create this Moonshot Initiative, which is to statistically inform the cancer patient with enough data that they can, you know, combat it themselves. It's a really cool thing. And I think that under Obama's administration, they inputted $17 million already into this program. So it's going to be cool where this goes in the next few years.
Of course, it's always a big music thing. Did you get a chance to see some good acts down there as well?
Oh, you know me. Absolutely. I was sure, going out at least once a night to go and see some music. And it's a really cool place because not only like a startup company, these local bands and bands that are really well known can go and get their faces shown to a huge crowd. So it's a really cool thing for a musician in Austin.
So for somebody who's if one of these companies are just starting out, even just a band that's just starting out, was there money to be had down there? Were there investors ready to write checks? Did you get a sense that money was flowing?
That is so on point because a lot of time when I would go to these convocations, whether it be Joe Biden, whether it be Mark Cuban, whether it be Garth Brooks, he just announced a partnership with the Amazon Music Company, and he specifically addressed the people in the third and fourth row that he knew were executives who were going to be making the investments in the long run. So this is a place where not only you can meet the crowd and the consumer you'll be selling to, but the people are going to be filling your pocketbooks.
So for people who might think about going and I'm one of those guys who really want to go to this someday.
Yeah.
Is it getting too big where there's just so much stuff that one person can't do at all?
Wow.
Or is that a bad thing or is that a good thing?
Well, it depends on how you look at it. Like if you organize it correctly, you'll be able to take on Austin. I mean, it's kind of like a wild animal. There's music, tech, comedy, film, all rolled up into one. So if you're able to navigate that correctly, then it won't be too hard. But at most of the time, you get this intense FOMO, which is a fear of missing out.
Exactly.
So you're going to, you know, see Mark Cuban speak, but oh no, I missed John Cena, or I missed the Veep speech, or I missed another great speaker who's going to be at Austin. So, you know, it's just about navigating yourself well. And don't worry, Steve, I'll have your back.
Yeah, good. Well, we might have to take you down there to be our guide. But so where are the groove gloves? Are we going to see you with these walking around the radio station at some point?
Absolutely. I know Christmas is coming up and your birthday, so I was planning on getting you some.
Well, Michael, thank you. And thanks, as always, for going down and keeping us in tune with what's happening, what's hip and happening.
Thank you so much for having me on the show.
Michael Heidemann, a colleague here at WGN, a producer, talking about South by Southwest.
You're listening to The Opening Bell on 720 WGN.
Good morning. Welcome back to the program on the WGN Associated Bank Market Desk this morning. Dow futures are looking positive just yet, barely, though. Things are kind of weak moving forward towards 8:30 Chicago time. Dow futures up 7. NASDAQ futures up about 3. S&P futures are up about 3 as well. Gold is trading lower. Silver is trading higher this morning. Crude oil at $48.31 a barrel. Now, the Associated Bank Market Desk outlook for this Thursday, March the 23rd, 2017. Major business economic reports scheduled for today include the Labor Department report on the number of people who applied for unemployment benefits last week. Also, the Commerce Department will report on sales of new homes in February. Freddie Mac reports on this week's average U.S. mortgage rates. A vote on the American Health Care Act, the bill to replace Obamacare, also being called Trump Care, is scheduled perhaps for 6 p.m. Central Time today. Also on Capitol Hill, the Senate Agriculture Committee on Nutrition and Forestry holds a hearing at 9 o'clock to consider Sonny Perdue to be the next Secretary of Agriculture. Fortune magazine is out with its annual edition featuring the top 50 leaders across all industries, including business, government, sports, and the nonprofit sector. Again, that's Fortune 500's World's Greatest Leaders list coming out a little bit later on today. Just some of the things that could move the markets on this Thursday, March 23rd, 2017.